Welcome to Digital Garden State, a podcast by the New Jersey Health Information Management Systems Society.
Welcome to the New Jersey Health Information Management Systems Society podcast series, where we discuss emerging trends in healthcare technology and their impact on our industry. New Jersey HIMSS is a consortium of healthcare professionals, providers, and vendors who are committed to promoting constant improvement in the use of information technology within the healthcare industry. I am your host, Mike Fortino, current New Jersey HIMSS board member and account executive with Galaxy Solutions. Today's podcast episode is a continuation of our customer stories series, where we highlight one of our great sponsors, Caregiver Smart Solutions. But before we get started, I always like to emphasize that our chapter is supported by some amazing companies, and without their sponsorship, we could not deliver on our mission of healthcare technology advocacy and learning. And Ryan Hurd, who is from Caregiver Smart Solutions, is one of those great companies. So, Ryan, it's great to have you back. We're having a little continuation of our previous podcast, and it's really good to see you again.
Hey, Mike, how are you doing? I appreciate you having me on for the second time. I am excited.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, we talked a lot about your company. And just to make sure, would you please give us your website so that, you know, the listeners can make sure we get that out of the way?
So the name of the company is Caregiver Smart Solutions, and the website is caregiversmartsolutions.com. And you can always give us a call at 888-585-5022.
Awesome. And Ryan, you are the founder and CEO, correct?
That is correct. I am.
Just in case one of our listeners, did not happen to listen to the first episode. So want to make sure that we get that in there as well.
And I would love to talk to them all.
All right. Hey, could refresh our memory, right? And refresh my memory. Just kind of give us a little bit of an overview of, you know, what your mission is, your focus, you know, what are you really able to deliver to the industry at large?
Well, if you really want to think about it, Caregiver Smart Solutions is empowering caregivers worldwide while enabling their loved ones to live their best possible life. Mm-hmm. So with that said, how do we help the community? The biggest problem is our aging loved ones are home alone and you can't be there all the time, especially coming out of COVID, right? So COVID, one of the small benefits, not like there was many, but one of the small benefits is we were closer to our family and or maybe we had a little more time to take care of our loved one. But now with, you know, employers requiring us to come back to work, what do? You can't be there all the time. And, you know, right at this moment, I just need to know how my loved one's doing. So that's really the fundamental of what we were built on. It was about how do we give that circle of care, you, your brother, your sister, the doctor, the in-home team, you know, the whole group of people, how can we give them the information so they can make that best possible decision for that person? And whether it's, obviously, we're all worried about the fall, but there's so much more, you know, eating, drinking, moving around, bathing, did they leave the stove on, et cetera, et cetera.
Gotcha, yeah. And could you also, let's remind everybody about how your solution actually works, you know, in general terms, and then we can get into, you know, the technology behind it all.
The simplest way to think about it is we monitor activities of daily living and we measure it over time because if you can't monitor something and you can't measure something, you can't make it right.
Right.
So that's where our focus is. And how we're doing it is by using tiny non-invasive sensors placed discreetly around the home. And they're monitoring that person's ADLs, activities of daily living, over time. Mm-hmm. And it's really amazing because at the end of the day, we're all creatures of habit, right? You get up about the same time, you go to the bathroom, get something to eat, tap on your laptop, whatever that is. That's fine. But over time, we can see differences. And it could be acute, i.e. a fall, or it could be long term. you know, mom is drinking less, and then she's dehydrated, and we know, you know, unfortunately, dehydration is the number one precursor to a fall, and falls are bad, not only for that person, but for you, the adult child caregiver, for the healthcare system, for the doctors, for the skilled nursing facility. I mean, all the way through. And if it could just be, if it could just be headed off because we were focusing on that person eating or drinking, I mean, that's where it's game changing. So for us, you know, it's about independence, it's about dignity, and it's about the appropriate use of technology. For example, you know, cameras and listening devices are not, in my opinion, the appropriate uses of technology.
I can fully appreciate that. But talk a little bit about the ADL sensors, right? The focus, you know, the types of sensors that are not, you know, the intrusive type of sensors where, you know, your loved one, your family member can have that sense of independence without feeling constantly being watched, right?
Correct. So number one, it's not a camera. I don't need to see what mom is doing in her, you know, living space. Number two, it's not a listening device. I don't want to listen, right? I just want to monitor. The difference is we're using a suite of sensors. So things from door sensors, cabinet sensors, movement sensors, temperature and humidity sensors, a whole bunch of sensors. And if you think of these sensors as data points, and, you know, so the sensors are technology and the information is data point. And it's the technology is a tool to give us that information to make that best possible decision. So, for example, you know, if your loved one has a touch of dementia, maybe it's really important that you know when she opens up the front or side door. You know, God forbid, did she turn on the stove, open up the front door, and leave the premise? Okay, I want to know that. Then did she not come back? It's been 5 minutes, it's been 10 minutes, it's been 15 minutes. Something's up. Or maybe it's like my father. I started this because of my father having cancer. And in the beginning, it was really about, I had no clue what was going on. So, you know, he goes through cancer, then he goes through his chemo treatments. And I had no idea. I don't know if dad was up all night throwing up. I don't know if he is taking his medication. I don't even know if he got up in the morning. So for me, I just needed to know at this second, because the problem was, is I can give him a call half the time he didn't pick up. And the other half of the time, he's always saying he's fine, which is fine. I get it. It's independence. It's psychology. It's respect. But I'm still concerned. You know, if there was something I can do, I want to help. This is a way to help the millions of loved ones that are out there living on their own. And, you know, for a better way of saying, it's kind of like the buddy system, or I've got your back. God forbid something happens. You know, it's one, I'm a runner. I have a Garmin watch. You know, I have this thing on it that gives my name, address, phone number, and all that stuff. God forbid something happens. I want to know somebody's got my back.
Right. Exactly. So, you know, you mentioned an interesting use case with someone that may have dementia, and then within their home, right? The patterns that would be considered normal every day. And then all of a sudden there's an anomaly, right?
Right.
So help us understand, you know, you mentioned the sensors. Okay, great. But now a key point was the data points that you're collecting.
Yes.
Right. And how does that actually work? And what is some of the underlying technology behind that helps to alert or to notify?
Great question. So let's paint the picture. We have these tiny sensors. These sensors are about the size of a quarter, and they're placed discreetly around the home. So think of bedroom, bathroom, living room, dining room, kitchen, medicine cabinet, refrigerator, front door. You know, kind of all over the place, but they're tiny. And if you think of the sensors as a data point, right? So did the front door open? On its own, it's just one data point. But if you stitch all the data points together with machine learning and AI, so if you think about it, you want to get a baseline. So what is mom's normal baseline? Maybe she gets up twice a night to go to the bathroom. You had no clue But in her world, it's fine. But when she starts going to the bathroom 4 or 5 times, that could be a problem. Or maybe the reverse of that. If mom's not getting up to go to the bathroom, or mom is going to the bathroom less over time, that could be a problem. So if you look at these sensors as creating data points, and then you take that technology and it's stitching together those data points and it's giving us real-time information. Is everything normal? Green check mark. Great. If something's out of the obvious or out of the normal, and it could be something as simple as mom opened up the fridge and now the fridge has been open for 15 minutes and she's in the living room. I mean, think about it. How many times have you or I, you know, we've come home from the food store, you know, it's whatever, you get a phone call or it's chaos, throw the stuff in there, you close the fridge, it doesn't really close, then it's got this beeping sound that you and I can barely hear. But, you know, my 97-year-old grandmother, she can't hear a damn thing. So you're never going to be able to hear that. But to know that that refrigerator is open and to be able to call grandma or text her and be like, hey, listen, can you double check the fridge? I think it's open. Right there, crisis averted.
You know, you mentioned baseline, right, for individuals. And, you know, you think about that process. You know, one question I have about the baseline for an individual is, you know, how long does that usually take? You know, because with machine learning, right, there's a bit of learning for the model itself and the technology, correct?
Takes about 2 weeks to start. And with that said, upon setup, the more information you put in, the quicker it's going to learn. And I just mean basics, right? So we want to know, all right, hey, where does mom live? That's important. Yeah. Why is it important? Because we're monitoring inside temperature. Think of it, whether it's the stove, whether it's the bathroom, you know, we're looking at temperature, humidity levels for them taking showers or baths, stuff like that. But we also want to know outside temperature. And what I mean by stitching things together is, let's say it's, you know, right now it's August, right? So maybe grandma is in Louisiana and maybe it's, I have no clue how hot it is. You know, maybe it's 101 degrees today. And I'm able to look on the app and inside it's 85, 90 degrees. That's a problem. That means that her air conditioning's not working. But if it's 75 degrees, you know, for the most part, that's okay. Even, you know, 80. And the reverse of when it's cold. So number one, the more information you put in, the quicker we can get up to speed. Number two, takes about 2 weeks to get that fundamental baseline.
And what's the process for actually, you know, doing the getting the initial data into the system?
Super simple. So it starts with the setup. So I'm going to ship you a wonderful box. It's called the Core Kit, and it's a suite of sensors.
Okay.
You're going to take the hub out. You're going to plug the hub in. You're going to scan the QR code, download the app. And then you're going to peel and stick the sensors, and it's just going to walk you through everything. Onboarding, naming, the whole nine yards.
Gotcha.
It's so super simple. It's wonderful.
So straightforward, you know, practical, user interface for you to get that initial data in and actually start positioning all your ADL sensors, right? That sounds great. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, and I don't want you to give up the secret sauce, the recipe around the model that you're using, things like that. But can you talk a little bit more about the actual artificial intelligence that you're using, right? Because there's so many versions, many different types of AI, and, you know, it just keeps changing, right? At such a rapid pace. But so can you give us a little bit of the basics around what type of ML machine learning models that you're using, approaches? That'd be great.
Well, the easiest way to articulate it is this. Right now, we are at level 1. Tomorrow and beyond, you're going to be at level 5 and 10, and it's going to be absolutely amazing. And what do I mean by that? It's basically on the data set. So the more and more users we get, the better off we can map things like health on regions, long-term health. The more inputs we have, the more we can model that against known activities. So for example, let's take something simple. If mom is getting up at night, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, and then she goes into the living room, okay, that could be a one-off. Maybe she ate something that didn't, whatever, you know. But if she does that 2, 3, 4 nights, it could be an indicator of non-24, right? So other things. So as we get more and more robust, the ability to, let's say, know whether or not the lights were left on at night. You know, on one hand, you think binary. Well, mom forgot to turn the lights off inside her apartment or house. Well, what it really could be is that mom is starting to have eyesight issues and she's worrying about falling when she goes to the bathroom. So it's not just simply an off thing or early on stage dementia. So if we have a long enough learning curve, mm-hmm. let's say every Wednesday, mom vacuums the house. Okay, great. You know, so we see that, we know it, we're monitoring it. But now all of a sudden we see a flurry of activity on Tuesday and she's starting to forget to close the front door and take her medication, right? Now we're adding 1 + 1 + 1. There could be an issue. We go to some other tables, we pull in that information and say, typically early on stage dementia is expressed in these things. And this starts happening, this starts happening, this starts mm-hmm. happening. And again, my job is not to make a decision. My job is just to give you the information so you and your doctor can make that best possible decision for that loved one.
So you're really, you know, those social determinants of health, right?
Exactly.
I mean, your application, right? Your system can actually, you know, make practical use of that data, right? Real. I mean, it's an application that actually can help to, you know, on a larger scale, right? For a population, can really make a big difference, you know.
Right, and it's a simple and effective way to gain clarity of care for when you can't be there.
Yep. Yeah, so often, you know, we see a lot of really smart folks and with great intentions and looking to solve some really complex problems, and they do great work. I mean, it's something that needs to be done. It has to be done. But then, you know, if you take a step back and you really look at what the true, you know, what is it that you could do to improve those lives of those that, you know, need the, you know, some simple practical help, you know? And this is, to me, it's just one of those.
You know what happens is when we look at this, you know, you have remote patient monitoring, you have all these fancy things, and all of that requires input from the person, right? So we're asking them to wear a watch. We're asking them to wear a pendant. We're asking them to take their weight and write it down. We're asking them to do their blood ox, you know, all of those things. Please do this, write it down, and then the nurse is going to call you every other day. Well, problem number one is you're requiring something, and that's always a problem. But a lot of times it's needed. Problem number two, it's delayed. So that is historic information. It's not current information. What we're doing is we're taking that next step. So right now, as we're monitoring ADLs, it gives you the ability to know exactly what's going on without that level of input from the person, right? We're not requiring them to do anything. Mm-hmm. Don't change anything. You don't even think about it. It's not even there. Yep. But there's a whole host of information just based on your habits. And one of the things, as I said before, dehydration, because unfortunately, as we get older, we still crave that independence, yet sometimes we tend to self-isolate. It's the mom that, you know, she's slowing down, maybe she needs a walker, and she, you know, she doesn't want to be that person at ShopRite and holding the lineup and stuff like that. So she tends to forego, she starts to self-isolate. Well, when you're self-isolating, you're not thinking about water consumption, and maybe she is a coffee drinker, which is a diuretic. So, I mean, mm-hmm. all of these things compound, and then what happens? One day she gets up, the next second she's on the floor, and she's passed out. Then what?
Yeah.
So here is a way that we can get ahead of that curve.
So tell me a little bit about your roadmap. You know, what do you think's next? What is next?
Oh, so exciting. So my background is smart home. Smart home, IoT, I've been in that field for 30 years. I wrote the book on it called Join the Smart Home Revolution, and it's been amazing. So I'm stealing a lot of ideas from that because we really understand the residential home environment and how people use the living environment and basically work within that environment. So you apply that to what we're doing. So going forward, we are partnering with Best of Breed to fill in the gaps of problems that we see that's out there. So let's pick dementia. So right now, today, we're monitoring the door, we're monitoring movement, we're monitoring if mom left the stove on, let's say. So obviously, if mom turned on the stove and 10 minutes later, she opened the door and then she walked out and it's not to pick up the Amazon package, I'm concerned. 15 minutes goes by, I'm really concerned. Where's mom? Great. Next generation, partnering with, let's say, a video doorbell. Now, as I said before, it's the appropriate use of technology. So I do not believe that cameras should be inside the residential environment. But I do believe, I think the video doorbell is one of the best things for our aging loved ones from a safety and a security level. But the way that we could also leverage that is in that scenario, if mom left the stove on, walked out the front door, automatically we take that picture and we archive it. So God forbid, if she doesn't come back within 15, 20 minutes, the most relevant information you need when you call 911 is what time did she leave? Mm-hmm. What was she wearing?
Right.
And we're
right.
answering those questions. So whether it's that, whether it's, hey, if mom can wear a Fitbit, now we can get more granularity. So we'll know resting heart rate. We'll know a whole host of things. So we look at it from that standpoint. How can we solve more problems by partnering with Best of Breed for some really cool things?
Yeah. You know, and it's just, that is really exciting because, you know, you're building it on data that you've, you know, collected about, and it's the individual's data, right? It's all about them. And, you know, just continuing to leverage that, right? To their benefit and to their family's benefit to build it in a way that makes sense, you know?
As well as the industry, because the information the industry lacks is the industry is very focused on internal numbers.
Yeah.
As I said, heart rate, blood ox, so on and so forth. And that all requires, for the most part, some kind of, you know, interface with the person. And what we're bringing to the table is environmental numbers. It's those numbers that nobody's thinking about yet have a huge impact.
Yep.
So, for example, let's take another scenario. Let's say normal everyday activity, mom goes to the bathroom twice a night. Okay. But now she's going to the bathroom three or four times a night. What's going on? You call her up. You bring her to the doctor. It turns out to be a urinary tract infection. Okay. So she comes home. What do you want to know? You're thinking binary. I want to know if she's taking her medication.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's one of the points. But I want to know what's the reaction to that. So if I know that mom has a urinary tract infection and I know that mom is taking her medication, am I seeing her go to the bathroom less? Or is she lethargic? Is she eating less? Is there an issue? And those are all those things that nobody finds out about until a month later when that urinary tract infection got worse and she's rushed to the emergency room.
Yep.
And we're figuring out within a day or two, three at the most.
Yeah, that is just, it just makes so much sense. And, you know, if people would just, I think most folks, once they understand that that capability is there, it exists. You know, what relief, right?
Simple and effective. That is our motto. Because if it's not simple and effective, it's not going to be adopted. It's not going to be easy.
Right.
It has to be easy.
Right. You know, and the other thing too is, I guess the whole idea of, you know, combining that data with some other epidemiologists that are out there, right? That would love that. That information,
Absolutely.
That data to benefit the greater population. I think that's great. You know, we're kind of getting a little bit long on time here. So, again, another great discussion. really enjoyed it. I hope that, you know, not that I hope, but I know that if any of our listeners do listen to this episode, I think they'll find a lot of value in our discussion. So one last time, why don't you give us your website info?
Sure. So again, it is caregiversmartsolutions.com. Again, caregiversmartsolutions.com. Or you can call us at 888-585-5022. Again, that's 888-585-5022. And Mike, you know, with your help, we actually can change the world. And that's what we're looking to do.
Yeah, you know, our chapter is really, you know, so appreciative of our sponsors like you, Ryan, and what your mission, right? Your solutions, you know, I really do think, and I know that our membership will really appreciate it as much as I do, that, you know, here is a solution that can absolutely, you know, do some real good, you know, simple. I mean, just really can. Ryan, are you going to be at the fall conference with our partner chapter, Delaware Valley, in
Atlantic
City? Absolutely.
I will absolutely be down in Atlantic City with you guys.
Awesome. Then that is on October. It starts on October 17th with a great golf outing. And then the conference itself is the 18th and the 19th. We've got some CIO panels. We've got some great topics for our tracks that we're going to be having there, and just some really good keynote speakers as well as all of our great sponsors. And we encourage all of our membership, stop by, say hello to Ryan, say hello to our other great sponsors. We would really appreciate that. So that is going to be, again, October 17th through the 19th in Atlantic City, New Jersey at the Hard Rock. And one of the things I always am concerned about when I go to places like that is parking. You don't have to worry. It's a great parking garage, and it can accommodate pickup trucks. So just want everybody to know that. So that wraps up the discussion for today. Ryan, again, thank you very much. We hope our membership is going to enjoy this as much as we did putting it together. Stay tuned for more episodes in our podcast series, and by all means, check us out on our other podcasts. On your favorite podcast platform. We are New Jersey Hymns. That's NJHIMSS on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, Podbean, and TuneIn plus Alexa. Please subscribe to our channel on those platforms and always hit those like buttons. And you can also find our podcast on our website, njhymns.org. Thank you, Ryan. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike.
All right.